I find very interesting the first text that we read from Isaiah. There were bad leaders, there were bad shepherds, but I'm going to generate new shepherds who will gather my people. Now, with the work that we've done last week, when we say, behold, I make all things new, behold, this world is going to change. That's something we said last week. Now, don't be surprised if the Holy Spirit comes to you and make you work to the realization of the kingdom. God says, I will generate new shepherds. The Spirit will ring at the doorbell of your heart. Surprise, surprise. And you will be called. I with you, we will be called to do something for the reign of God. You tell me next week when it happens. The crucifixion of Jesus is always a very difficult subject for me. Oh, so on the cross where Jesus tells the criminal, today you will be with me in paradise, we're witnessing a merciful and loving God. Jesus knew this criminal inside out. Yet, there was no judgment from Jesus. I say he knew him inside out, but the truth is, he only knew him for 2 minutes? 5 at the most? Yet, because he's God, he knew this man. And when he spoke to Jesus, will you take me with you? We have the beautiful words of conversion right there. And of course, God said, come, my friend, you are loved. We don't know what this criminal did, and it's not important in the story. But if he did end up on a cross, it's because he did something severe, something bad. Did he steal? Did he kill someone? Did he blaspheme against God or Caesar? His crime is completely eluded here. Only his conversion is noted and expressed. Until the last second of his earthly life, Jesus loved other people and offered them salvation. Many years ago, I read in a book about the Holy Shroud, that there were doctors that studied the wounds of Jesus. And they said that the crucifixion in his hands, just one hand, being pierced by these big nails was enough for any human being to enter into delirium. It was so painful. And yet we have this moment of tenderness, of welcome, and of love. As our Jesus was martyrized, it's so full of love. I want to tell you, in 1925, Pope Pius XI wrote a decree saying that the last Sunday before Advent would be the celebration of the reign of Christ. That's today. Pope Pius XI wanted to confirm Christ's royalty over secularism that was rampant and rapidly undermining the authority of the Catholic Church among the faithful.
Later on, the Catholic Church recentered, redirected the feast towards something more than an eschatological vision, which is a vision of the end of times. Like if the Church had said, the Catholic Church had said, well, the reign of Christ is not for today, obviously, maybe at the end of times. But still, if we don't call it today and right now, when is it going to arrive? Let us be confident that God is here among us and that Christ reigns. As Alexandre was saying at the beginning of the service, making Jesus a king is somehow taking him away from our ordinary, modest life. For instance, I like King Charles III. I like him, but I'll never know him. He'll never meet me, and he won't care when I die. With Jesus, it's a very different perspective, isn't it? Jesus knows me, little Christine. He knows every one of us. And we meet from time to time, don't we? And Jesus will assist us when we die. Be I a criminal or a minister, no difference to him. He loves us. I must say that I was never really attracted either to the Christ child of Prague. Prague in English, you say? La ville de Prague. You've seen this little child before, I'm sure. It shows Jesus covered by a royal coat and a crown, and he holds the earth in a hand while blessing the world with the other hand. And there is a historical story behind it all. And it dates back to the 17th century. However, what I'm getting at is that calling Jesus our king in 2022, to me, is a little bit reductive. It is diminishing him to something human. And Jesus is much more than that. I do like the fact that being a baby, a young child, a teenager, or an adult, Jesus was God. He is God. And he is God from his conception and so on, and he still is. God himself took flesh in the person of Jesus, and according to theologian and philosopher Peter Abelard, God did this, and we're in speculative theology here, God did this in order to show humankind how to love truly his neighbor. It's paradoxical that God took flesh to live among us, as it is said in the Bible, and ended up, listen to this, ended up transgressing the law many times. So many times, in fact, that a new faith, a new way, which was called Judaism, and then Christianity, arose from fulfilling and getting past the law of Moses. For example, from Yahwism, that was the religion of the fathers of the first Hebrew people, the Judeans in exile in Babylon created a new religion. We've discussed that before. And it was based on this faith. Same God. The Judeans stopped offering human sacrifices as of the exile. For example, the sacrifice of Isaac. And we even have it in the later Gospels where we see that God sacrificed his own son. So that was in the spirit of the time. human sacrifices did happen. The Judeans in exile in Babylon started to celebrate their faith in their own homes, privately, which they were not supposed to do. But they had no more temple, they had nothing, no priest, nobody. And so they gathered, they shared information, and they started to celebrate their faith in their own homes. For Jesus, there was no more clean or unclean. Remember, in many, many Gospels, we say, he touched a leper. He rose a dead person, touching the body of a dead person. That is unclean. He would speak to women. He would eat at sinners' houses. Then the Sabbath laws were at the service of people and not the contrary anymore. Jesus himself said he had no place to call home and to lay his head. All those events and the gospel is actually full of them. All those events would show a Jesus close to the people, eager to meet them and share a moment of his own life with them. That's quite a rebel king, if you ask me. And John, in his gospel, made Jesus say, "My kingdom is not of this world." And that's in John chapter 18, verse 36. It makes me say and think that Jesus must have been a very nice, very kind man to have in one's circle of friends, a luminous, positive, helping friend to whom you always want to be close. Mm-hmm. Liberation theologian Carlos Mestres was saying of Jesus, "Those who don't know him don't know what they're missing. But those who have met him cannot live without him."
Amen.
I would make also these words correspond to God's word through Isaiah and Jeremiah that we've discussed also last week. "Behold, I make all things new." Saying that once we've encountered Christ, be it through a person, an event, once we've encountered Christ, everything is different in our lives, and it will be for the rest of it. A spiritual experience is a unique thing, and it can happen, if it has not happened yet, it can happen 2 seconds before your death. Just like our criminal on the cross. I'll bet that Jesus would never want to be called a human king. But I'm sure to him, simply knowing that we make him the center of our lives is probably enough, and I think it is. Amen.